Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Hebraic Heritage Ministries Yeshiva Discipleship Program. Our teaching today is entitled, What is Torah? And this is going to be the first of a two-part teaching on the subject. When we're speaking about the Torah and explaining what the Torah is, it's very significant that our audience understands that we are saved by grace through faith. And this is a principle that is established in the Torah itself when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They were redeemed out of Egypt by grace through faith. And Exodus in chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21, it says, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor. The word favor in Hebrew is chen, which means grace. I will give this people grace in the sight of the Egyptians, and it will come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. So even though the grace of the God of Israel was present to redeem his people from Egypt, not everyone who was in the land came out of Egypt because it required faith as well. And what was that faith? It was putting the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. In Exodus in chapter 12 and verses 3 and 7 it is written, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Therefore, salvation by grace through faith is a Torah concept that the New Testament affirms as being so. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, after the children of Israel were saved by grace through faith, then they came to Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai they were given commandments as a saved or redeemed people to instruct them on how to live their lives as a redeemed people. And this is the pattern that is affirmed in the New Testament as well. Once again, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 is written, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 28 affirms salvation by grace through faith. It says, Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the Torah. So, after affirming in Romans chapter 3 verse 28 that we're justified by faith without the deeds of the Torah, Paul goes on in Romans chapter 3 and verse 31 asking the question, do we make void or do we do away with the Torah through faith or because we're saved by grace through faith? And question, he says, God forbid we establish the Torah. By what means does Paul have a right to say that after we're saved by grace through faith, that we establish the Torah? It comes from the Torah itself and the way in which the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt. So what is Torah? What is the definition of Torah? Torah is the Strong's number 8451, and it comes from the Strong's number 3384, which is the Hebrew word Yerah. Torah comes from the Hebrew word Yerah. Yerah means to teach, to instruct. It means to lay a foundation. It means to point out as aiming the finger. So the meaning of the word Torah in its root or its base form is teaching or instruction. It means to point out something to someone as aiming the finger. Now, Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. In most people's minds, they think of the Torah as just being the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in the narrow definition of the term, we do refer to the first five books of the Bible as Torah. But in a broader application, the Torah is the Word of God, and we believe the Word of God is from Genesis to Revelation. That is the written Word of God. So let's see how the Torah and the Word of God, or the Word of Yahweh, are synonymous terms. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, "Bless Yahweh, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His words." Look, His commandments is parallel with the voice of His word. Psalm 119 verse 16, it is written, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." So His word is the statutes. His word is His commandments. Isaiah in chapter 1 and verse 10, it is written, "Hear the word of Yahweh, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the Torah of our God, you people of Gomorrah." This is Hebrew parallelism, that the word of Yahweh is the Torah of our God. So Torah and the word of Yahweh are synonymous terms. We can see this as well in Isaiah in chapter 2 and verse 3, as it is written, "He will teach us of His paths, and we will walk in His ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem." So we see that Zion is parallel to Jerusalem, and Torah is parallel to the word of Yahweh. We can also see how Torah and the word of Yahweh are synonymous. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 24. "Because they cast away the Torah of Yahweh of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." So in understanding what Torah is, we need to understand that we're saved by grace through faith, and we establish the Torah in being saved by grace through faith. Torah means teaching or instruction, means to point out as aiming the finger, and Torah and Word of God are synonymous terms. Now, in the New Testament, in John chapter 10 and verse 34, in quoting from Psalms, specifically Psalm 82 and verse 6, that in the New Testament, Psalms is called Torah. John chapter 10 verse 34, it is written, "Yeshua answered them, is it not written in your Torah, I said you are gods? Is it not written in your Torah?" Well, the quote is from Psalm 82 verse 6, which says, "I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." So the New Testament refers to the Psalms as being the Torah. Now we're going to see how in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, the New Testament calls the prophets Torah, where it says, "In the Torah it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, says Yahweh." So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 is quoting from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, which says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." So the New Testament calls the prophets the Torah. Torah is written about Yeshua. He himself made this claim in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, as it is written, "And he said to them, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." In John chapter 1, verse 45, it is written, Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the Torah and the prophets did write, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Moses in the Torah did write of him. In John chapter 5, verse 46, Yeshua said, For you, had you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. Moses wrote of Yeshua. In Acts chapter 28, verse 23, it is written, He expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the Torah of Moses and out of the prophets. So a major Torah principle is the Torah is written about Yeshua the Messiah. Now, the order of the Hebrew scriptures in a Jewish published Bible, first you have the Torah, then you have a section called the prophets, and then you have a section called the writings, of which Psalms and Proverbs are a part of the section of the writings. And the word law in Hebrew is Torah. The word for prophets is Nevi'im. And the word for the writings, referring to Psalms and Proverbs, is Ketuvim. And if we take the first letter of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, we have an acronym called Tanakh. So the Hebrew scriptures is referred to as the Tanakh. We need to understand that Yeshua kept the Torah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it is written, Think not that I've come to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I've not come to destroy or to do away with. And this is an idiom that means to incorrectly interpret it. See, if you have something and you don't use it according to how it's intended to be used, you're destroying something. But if you have something and you use it the way the manufacturer intended it to be used, you are fulfilling it. You are using it appropriately. So when Yeshua said, I've not come to destroy the Torah, he means that I've come to follow it and give it the correct interpretation. I've not come to destroy, but I've come to fulfill. I've not come to give an incorrect interpretation. Destroy. I've come to give a correct interpretation to fulfill. There are four primary levels of interpreting the Torah or Scripture. And these levels are the following. Number one, Peshat. Peshat in Hebrew means the literal or the simple or the plain meaning. Secondly, Remez. Remez means hint or an allusion to. The third level is called Darash. Darash means drawn out, and it comes from the same root as Midrash. And examples of Darash are parables, and Darash is the implicit meaning of the text. It's the homiletic interpretation or the exegesis of Scripture. And then the fourth level is what's called the so, that is the spiritual or the mystical meaning of the text. So if we take the first letter of the four levels, we have a Hebrew acronym that is Pardes. And Pardes in Hebrew means an orchard or a garden. And so rendering is by looking at the text at its four levels, you've seen the richness of the text that is linked or associated with the fruit of a garden. Now, in the book, From Exile to Redemption, Volume 1, page 158, written by Rebbe Menachem Schneerson, regarding the sod level of the Torah, he says the sod is the mystical dimension or level of the Torah, and that the coming of the Messiah reveals the sod level of the Torah. The coming of the Messiah reveals the sod level of the Torah. Now, let's look at an example of interpreting something from the sowed level. And we're going to look at the word Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for the English Jesus. Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation. And I have a chart here that goes through the Hebrew alphabet, and the Hebrew alphabet and the Hebrew language is meant to be a picture language. And in the ancient Hebrew, which is called Paleo-Hebrew, the Hebrew letters have a corresponding picture association to them. And so, if we look at the word Yeshua, which Hebrew is read from right to left, but if we look at the letters from left to right, left to right, we have the Hebrew letter Ayin. And Ayin, it means to see or to perceive something. And once again, from left to right, we have the Vav. The Vav means a nail or a hook. And then we have the Hebrew letter Shin. And Shin is a letter that's used to represent Yahweh himself in the name of El Shaddai. And then we have, lastly, the Hebrew letter Yod, which means a hand. Therefore, we could render the meaning of Yeshua, looking at it from left to right, his name in Paleo-Hebrew, the picture of it from left to right, is see the nail in El Shaddai's hand. That is the meaning of Yeshua. Next. In the art scroll of Genesis, in the introduction on page 43, they explain that at creation, the Torah became physical, and the Torah took upon itself in becoming physical the likeness of a human body. It says the Torah assumed physical garb just as the soul clothes itself in a human body to assume earthly life. So the principle is at creation, the Torah, which before creation eternally existed, that in the creation, the Torah became physical. We call it the earth, the universe. And so with this principle, John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, or the Torah, and the Word was with God, and the Word, or the Torah, was God. And then John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, the Torah, was made flesh, or it became physical. So this principle that the Torah becomes physical was established at creation. So therefore, the living Torah, Yahweh Yeshua, he became flesh. He became physical and dwelt among us. In the book Anticipating the Redemption, volume 1, page 44, written by Rebbe Menachem Schneerson, in commenting to the verse in Numbers chapter 19 and verse 14, he writes, it is written in Numbers chapter 19, verse 14, this is the Torah of man, i.e., the Torah resembles man. The principle is that the Torah resembles man. So let's look at this principle at the sowed level. Remember, it's the sowed level that reveals the Messiah. And we look at the holy name of the God of Israel, which in Hebrew is Yod, He, Vav, He, commonly pronounced as Yahweh. And if we take Yod, He, Vav, He, and we write it vertically, it resembles a man. The Yod represents a head. The He represents the shoulder and the arms. The Vav represents the middle trunk of a human body, and the final hay represents the legs. That Yod Hey Vav Hey vertically shows you a man. That is the sowed level and sowed interpretation of the Torah. Now, in the Midrash Rabbah, volume 6, page 534, the rabbis explain that there are 70 modes or 70 facets of the Torah. That even though there's four primary levels, the Torah has 70 dimensions or 70 facets to it. And what are some of the principles associated to the Torah and Torah teaching and instruction? Well, the Torah is taught in parables. That is a first principle. The Torah is taught in parables. So in Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my Torah." Verse 2, "I will open my mouth in a parable." So the Torah is taught in parables. And a parable is a darash. It is an implicit understanding of the text. So you need to understand that the Torah is presented and taught in the form of a parable. Yeshua, then, being a Torah teacher, being a rabbi, he taught in parables. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34. "All these things spoke Yeshua unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." The book of Proverbs opens up in verse 6 with these words, "To understand a proverb," in the interpretation, "the words of the wise and their dark sayings." So a proverb or a parable is called a word of the wise, and a parable is called a dark saying. And speaking about the subject of a proverb or a parable, which is a word of the wise and a dark saying, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the Torah of your mother." So in speaking about the subject of a proverb or a parable, the word of the wise and a dark saying, it goes on to say that this is Torah. Forsake it not. So another level of Torah application and understanding, in addition to parables, we have the deep or the dark sayings, which is mentioned in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6, which the sod meaning is also referred to as mystery. It's the spiritual or the mystical meaning. And let's look at examples of this. In the book, From Exile to Redemption, volume 2, page 10, written by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, he explains, "The Messiah will teach all of Israel the mystical depths of the Torah," that is the sod meaning of the Torah, "and the reasons hidden within the Torah he will reveal." So the Messiah will reveal the sod of the Torah. So when Yeshua taught in parables, he was asked in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables?" And his answer is the following in Matthew 13, 11. He says, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." The mysteries of the kingdom is the Torah in parables. The mysteries of the kingdom is the sowed level of the Torah. Then Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, that we speak the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? A deep or a dark saying, a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, in a sowed, even the hidden sowed. So we speak the mystery of God, the deeper things of God, in a sowed. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 and verse 10, Paul writes, "We speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery or a sowed, that God has revealed the sowed of the Torah to us by His Spirit." So the true meaning of the Torah is the sowed meaning, and that is the innermost dimension of the Torah, but the innermost dimension is only understood by the Spirit of Yah, and the world cannot understand it because the world only sees externally. And when I look at another individual, I externally see with my eye, with my natural eye, I see a physical body. I see how they look like externally. But only a spiritual eye can see what is inside the person, what is in their heart, what is in their spirit. But what's in your heart and what's in your spirit is the real you. The body is just an external shell. So the Peshat, or the literal of the Torah, is the external shell that we see at its surface and understand at its surface. But the real meaning of the Torah is what the Torah teaches you in the form of parables and in the form of the sowed. But that meaning is only understood by the Spirit. And they are teachings to the wise. They're words of the wise. Now, let's look at another aspect of Torah perspective, of how Torah is taught and presented. It's in the form of spiritual blueprints, shadows, or patterns. The Torah is taught in pattern. Let's look at an example of this. When Yahweh instructed for the tabernacle in the wilderness to be built, He said these words in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern shown to you on the mount. So the tabernacle was built according to the pattern back. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, once the tabernacle is completed, it says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. Now, that earthly tabernacle was a pattern of the heavenly tabernacle, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, which serve under the example and a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, says he, that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you in the mount. And the pattern of the earthly tabernacle was meant to communicate to you the principles of the kingdom of God. And the heavenly tabernacle, of which we are told about in Revelation 21, called the new earth and the new Jerusalem. It says, Revelation 21, verse 23, and the city, that is the new Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So the tabernacle was built according to the pattern. Now let's see what the instructions are regarding the temple of Yahweh. The temple of Yahweh is the house of Yeshua. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13, Yeshua went into the temple of them. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Yeshua called the temple his house. And he was quoting and making a reference to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. In Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 10 and 12, speaking about the temple of the Messianic era, this is the instruction regarding it. Ezekiel 43, verse 10, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel and let them measure the pattern. And then verse 12 says, this is the Torah of the house. The Torah of the house is to show the house to the house according to the pattern. when you show the house to the house according to pattern, you're pointing out or aiming the finger. You're pointing out and you're showing the pattern. And that's the meaning of Torah, to point out, to instruct, as aiming the finger. The temple is the throne of Yeshua. In Ezekiel 43, verse 5 and verse 7, it is written, "So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever." Now, remember the principle that we covered earlier, explained by Rebbe Schneerson in the book Anticipating the Redemption, Volume 1, page 44, referring to Numbers chapter 19, verse 14, that the Torah resembles, or the Torah is like a man. And so, the pattern that Yahweh gives us in His Torah is meant to teach us the true meaning, which is the spiritual or the sod meaning, which is the relationship that He desires between Himself and us. So we then, remember, the Torah resembles a man. So man himself, Yahweh sees as a tabernacle or a temple or the house of Yahweh. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Messiah as a son over His own house, whose house are we?" We are His spiritual house. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "You as lively stones, you build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Yeshua HaMashiach." Our body, then, is the temple of the Spirit of Yahweh. The Torah resembles, the Torah is like a man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, it is written, "And what concord has Messiah with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell them and walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Elohim." The Torah teaches us about the Messiah. Yeshua is the goal or the aim of the Torah. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, the King James reads, "For Christ is the end of the law." Well, the word "end" is the Greek word telos. And telos means a definite point or goal, the aim or the purpose of something. So it should be rendered, telos should be rendered, "For Messiah is the goal of the Torah." The whole purpose of the Torah is to point you to Messiah. And the Torah points you to Messiah through and reveals the Messiah at the sod level. Yeshua is the lawgiver. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. "For Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our king, He will save us." So the one that saves us is our lawgiver, and the one that saves us is Yahweh. In James chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that saves, the name of Yeshua means the salvation of Yah. So our salvation is our lawgiver. Yeshua is the lawgiver. And we're to express our love to the lawgiver by keeping his commandments. Yeshua said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he's making a remez. He's making a hint or an allusion or a reference to Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. And the context of Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, going back to verse 2, is, I am Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so the one that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, or the house of bondage, says that I showed mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So through the principle of remez, when Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments, he was stating that he's Yahweh Elohim, that he's the lawgiver, and that you love him by keeping his commandments through the principle of remez. Next. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we are told that we, who believe that Yeshua is Messiah, ought to walk, which means to live our lives, as he walked. He that says he abides in him, or in other words, he that says he's a believer that Yeshua is the Messiah, ought himself to walk as he walked. Well, Yeshua kept the Torah. If we walk as he walked, then we are to follow the Torah as well. So next, what we're going to do is we're going to look at scriptural metaphors for the Torah. And the first that we're going to look at is the Torah is likened unto oil. In the Midrash Rabbah, volume 4, page 44, it is written, oil symbolizes the Torah, and oil symbolizes good deeds. Torah is also likened to water, wine, honey, and milk. In the Midrash Rabbah, volume 9, page 33, it is explained, the words of the Torah are compared to water, to wine, to oil, to honey, and to milk. So let's see at 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the milk of the word that you may grow. The Torah is compared to milk, desire the milk of the word. Desire the simple teachings of the Torah that you may grow. The Torah is likened unto water. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. My doctrine will drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as showers upon the grass. So my doctrine or Torah teaching is likened unto rain, to dew, to showers. Then in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, it says, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. The Torah is likened to wine. Continuing on in Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters and buy wine, but buy it without money and without price. The Torah is likened unto wine. Now the Torah is likened unto honey. Psalm 19, verse 7 and verse 10. The Torah of Yahweh is sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. The Torah is likened to hidden treasure. In the Midrash Rabbah, volume 9, page 10, it says, Rabbi Pinhas, son of Yair, opened his exposition with the text, if you seek her as silver, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, that is, if you seek after the words of the Torah as after hidden treasure. The Holy One, blessed be He, will not withhold your reward. If a man loses something in his house, he lights lamp after lamp, wick after wick, till he finds it. Now, does it not stand to reason if for these things which are only ephemeral, and of this world, a man will light so many lamps and lights till he finds where they are hidden? For the words of the Torah which are the life both of this world and the next world, ought you not to search for it as you would search for hidden treasure? Well, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Yeshua explained the kingdom of Yahweh in these terms. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for the joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. The Torah is truth. Psalm 119, verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 and 6. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. The Torah of truth was in his mouth. The Torah is not only truth, but the Torah is light. Psalm 119, verse 105 and 130. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and that the entrance of your word gives light. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the Torah is light. Shalom, or peace, is given to those who love the Torah. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 and verse 6, it is written, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give peace, or shalom, in the land. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, my son, forget not my Torah, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. We can also see that shalom, or peace, is given to those who love the Torah from Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace, or great shalom, have they which love your Torah. Isaiah 54, verse 13. And all your children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of your children. The Torah is regarded as right, true, and good. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13, it is written, you came down also upon Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Romans chapter 7, verse 12, wherefore the Torah is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, for we know that the Torah is good. Following Torah is doing what is good and right in the eyes of Yahweh. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 2 and verse 4, it is written, and King Asa did what was right and good in the eyes of Yahweh his God. And in doing what is good and right in the eyes of Yahweh his God, what did he do? He commanded Judah to seek Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers, and to do the Torah and the commandment. Following the Torah brings long life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my Torah, but let your heart keep my commandments. So the subject is the Torah. And then it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2, regarding the Torah, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. The Torah brings us liberty. Psalm 119, verse 45. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives. James chapter 1, verse 25, it is written, but whosoever looks into the perfect Torah of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Torah is the will of Yahweh. You want to know, how do I do his will? How do I follow his will? It's to follow his Torah. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your Torah is within my heart. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, given him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his Torah, he says yes. Amen. All the time. If we ask anything according to his Torah, he says yes. All the time. What he wants us to do in his Torah, he says yes to all the time. So if we pray that we would do something according to his Torah, according to what he said he wanted us to do, and ask for help to be able to do it, he says yes all the time. Following Torah is loving Yahweh with all of our heart. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the Torah which Moses, the servant of God, charged you to love Yahweh, your Elohim, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Seeing that we are to follow Torah with our whole heart, Psalm 119, verse 34, it is written, give me understanding and I will keep your Torah. I will observe it with my whole heart. The Torah is to be written upon our heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and verse 27 is written, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, to keep my judgments and do them. So the purpose of the indwelling Holy Spirit is to give you the power to be able to follow the Torah of Yahweh. That is why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, I delight in the Torah of God after the inward man. We're to live our lives, or we're to walk according to the Torah. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then said Yahweh to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my Torah or not. We're to walk in his Torah. Now, following the Torah is choosing life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10 and verse 19. If you will hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the Torah, we're to keep the commandments and statutes written in the book of the Torah. And then he says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choosing life is choosing the Torah. And the same Torah is to be followed by Jew and non-Jew. Numbers chapter 15, verse 16. One Torah and one manner shall be for you and for the non-Jew or the stranger that sojourns with you. And Torah is the tree of life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 18. My son, forget not my Torah, let your heart keep my commandments. She, that is the Torah, is a tree of life to those that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. So what was planted in the garden? It was the tree of life. And so that tree of life represented the Torah in being obedient to the Torah. So we have in Revelation chapter 22, verses 13 and 14, Yeshua said, I'm Alpha the Omega, or I'm the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, or follow his Torah, that they might have right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gate of the city. Those who follow the Torah of Yeshua have right to the New Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is called a city of truth, a city that follows the Torah, a city that believes that Yeshua is the Messiah. So let's summarize what we have taught in this session. We have made the following points in this teaching. Number one, the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt by grace through faith. And believers in Yeshua are redeemed by his blood, by grace through faith. After we're saved by grace through faith, we're to express our faith in Yeshua by following his Torah. Torah means teaching or instruction, and that the Torah and the word of Yahweh are synonymous terms. The prophets and the Psalms are Torah, and the Torah is written about Yeshua. There are four main levels of Torah. They are the Peshat, the Remez, the Darash and the Sod. But on another aspect, there are 70 levels or dimensions of the Torah. At the creation of the heavens and the earth, the Torah became physical. And the Torah is like a man. The Torah is taught in parables. And the temple and the tabernacle were given by the God of Israel to teach his Torah, or the ways of his kingdom, according to his divine pattern. Man is likened to a tabernacle and a temple, and Yeshua is the goal at which the Torah aims. Yeshua is the lawgiver, and we show our love to Yeshua by keeping his commandments or following his Torah. The Torah is like oil. The Torah is like milk. The Torah is like water. The Torah is like wine. The Torah is like honey. The Torah is like hidden treasure. The Torah is truth. The Torah is light. The Torah brings peace, or shalom, to your life. The Torah is right, true, and good. The Torah gives us long life. The Torah gives us liberty. And the Torah is the will of the God of Israel. Since the Torah is the will of the God of Israel, we are to follow Torah with our whole heart. And following Torah is loving Yeshua. And how we express loving Yeshua with our whole heart. That Torah is to be written upon our hearts. And we are to walk or live our lives according to the Torah, because living our lives according to the Torah is choosing life. The same Torah is to be followed by both Jew and non-Jew who are in covenant relationship with Yahweh through Yeshua the Messiah. And finally, the Torah is a tree of life, and following Torah will allow us to be the bride of Yeshua and to dwell and live with Yeshua forever in the heavenly Jerusalem. I pray that the message has been a blessing to you. It helps you to understand and begin to understand what Torah is and the principles of the Torah. This is the first of two sessions on explaining what the Torah is. And remember from 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says that he is a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that is, to live our lives, even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk, or how did Yeshua live his life? He said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what is keeping his commandments? It's following his Torah. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.